Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, January 15th. We're back after a day off. Did you have a good day, Jen?
I did. I went to yoga. I had a meeting. I was busy.
Oh, wow. Somebody's important.
Thanks.
Well, the reason we took the day off is because my parents arrived from Israel yesterday. I had to be at the airport at 6:30. They didn't come out till 7:30.
Oh, wow.
Which is irritating. Yeah, because they had to wait. They were going to get them like wheelchairs and stuff because they can walk, but they don't walk very far. So you can imagine, you know, with a wheelchair. So they both had to be taken out on a wheelchair. And it's kind of depressing, you know. I mean,
yeah,
when you think about this, your parents are not as mobile as they used to be. And there are not a lot of things they used to be. But watching people get old, especially your parents, is difficult, you know. I mean, people get sick, they get old, they can't do the things they used to do.
Right. I mean, I even see it now with my parents because I know that it's coming at some point.
Right.
But I start to pick up on things now and I'm like, if it's happening now, like, what is it going to be, you know, in 10 years? And how do we slow this process?
Right. Well, we don't.
Right.
We can't do it.
No. I mean, the only thing we can do is take care of ourselves and do our best to, you know, stay fit and stay healthy and also keep our minds with it. Like, I'm even playing Elevate on my iPhone now to keep my brain together.
Really?
Because I don't want my brain to age or, like, to lose my memory. And so I'm doing it, and so are a few of my friends. We're actually all, like, proactively trying to stay young. And I'm like, parents, come on, download the Elevate app. Let's keep our brains young.
Yeah, there you go, you know. But eventually everybody gets old, and, you know, my dad has Parkinson's, and my mom's got, like, a bad back, and she's been constant pain for like years.
Yeah.
So it's hard to imagine, you know, and I'm sure nobody plans on aging that way, but it's not up to us.
Right.
You know, so you just try to hope they'll have the best time. They had moved back to Israel some time ago, and, you know, so they're getting older alone there, and we don't like it at all. And we're in the process of trying to convince them to move here. So we can be with them.
Right.
You know, and take care of them and stuff. You
yeah.
know? Don't want to just dump them on somebody there.
Right. You
know? Yeah. So
it's a long trip to go visit them, too.
It is. It is. It was a long flight for them, too. But, you know, they don't do it all the time. And besides, they needed a break, we decided. But, you know, I mean, when you come less mobile, you know, they had to sell their car. And, you know, so they don't go out as much and stuff. So they need people around them.
Right.
You know? And the way I see it is, look, parents, people bring kids to the world so they can take care of the kids, but eventually the kids can take care of them, you know. It sort of like reverses itself, you know.
Yeah.
And as we get older, we're like babies again.
Right.
And we need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a weird system of aging.
It is.
It's like a circle. You end up back where you started, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But
except you end up dead this time.
Oh, sad. Last night, my best friend and I were talking, and I was like, I hope we come back as best friends in our next lives.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I think we're pretty much stuck together, so.
You think so?
If we come back as, like, dogs, we'll be puppy best friends.
Right. But you won't know it.
No.
You know? Yeah, nature
somewhere
makes
in my
sure,
soul, I'll probably know.
Yeah. Nature makes sure we forget everything when we come back.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a pretty interesting game, you know. I think it's a game somebody's played with us, you know.
To teach us more lessons.
Yeah, to create it like a matrix for us. Did you ever see the movie The Matrix?
I did.
Yeah. So something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Where it's all an illusion, you know.
Exactly.
And it is, you know. I mean, think about it. Everything is made of atoms, and atoms are 99% of nothing. You know, the reason things get like solid and things like that is because the electrons move so fast, you know, around the atom, so it becomes like solid. But But it's an illusion, you know. And if you get into physics, you understand that. And so I don't know. Maybe we're in the matrix and we're going to wake up one day.
Maybe.
See, we're plugged to machines and stuff. Good.
Fascinating.
I know. All these like science fiction movies are so depressing, you know.
I'm not that into science fiction.
No.
No. But I did see a really cute movie that involved science and like robotics and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6.
Oh, you've seen that?
That was so good.
Really?
And I'm not really one to see cartoons and that kind of thing. But we had a screener of it, of course, because it's been nominated for Best Animated Feature. And it was fantastic.
Wow.
It was so good. You just like buy into the whole cartoon element of it. And like you love the characters. And it's just so cute.
Wow.
I think adults should see it because it's a really good movie with a great message.
Yeah. That's the thing is that many adults don't go to see those movies unless you have kids,
right.
You know. So that's why I used to see more of these movies when my kids were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good idea. Maybe I'll watch that.
Yeah, I think all adults should watch them because it reminds you of these lessons that they're teaching kids so simply. Like, so simply that, like, I think the message of the movie was that whether or not we're physically with each other, that we're always still together. So, like, you lose somebody, you still have them really in your heart.
Right.
You have them all around you. And to teach kids that at such a young age, whoever's watching this movie, is so great.
Yeah, I know. And they have to teach them about these things, you know, like death and and things like that. Wow. I know, that's pretty heavy stuff. But yeah, I enjoy the Pixar films, you know.
Yeah.
Those are very good. They really do a good job on them, especially considering they're computer animated.
Yeah.
You know, because they give it like, I mean, the direction and the just everything. The production is so professional. And so, like, you know, you have, like, John Lasseter, who's the main director at Pixar. And he just has a touch for these movies, you know. I remember when Pixar, before they started with their big movies, they would come out with shorts, animated shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So they had, like, Tin Toy and Red's Dream and stuff, which were, like, three-minute pieces. But they already had emotion in them, you know. And those were, like... And those were at the stage where they were experimenting with computer animation.
Yeah.
So they're compared to today, they're a little simplistic, but at the same time, they're able to put in emotion and feeling and meaning into the characters. You know, like Toy Story, for example. I enjoy Toy Story a lot, you know.
Me too. I also really loved Up.
Yeah, Up was good.
So good.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things, you know. So, and they can teach us things too, these movies, you know.
It's true. I really want to see How to Train Your Dragon and How to Train Your Dragon 2 because those are also movies that have been like critically acclaimed and nominated and winning things. How to Train Your Dragon 2 won a Golden Globe for Best Animated Feature.
Oh, really?
I don't know how it beat Big Hero 6 now that I've seen Big Hero 6, so I'm like... Well, if that movie's even better, I have to see it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the visuals are stunning in movies like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Even Lego Movie, I thought that would be for kids, but it was, I think, for adults.
I know. That's, like, surprising. A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, the topics and, like, the innuendos and things that I'm sure go over children's heads are geared toward adults, so...
Right. I just don't get, you know, Lego characters pretending to be somebody else and then they're in a movie, you know, that we're supposed to watch. I don't know, man. Even the toys don't mean much.
No, but it was a really good movie, actually.
Yeah, I need to check it out. At least try it and start and see, you know. Many times I'll start a movie. If I don't like it, I'll just switch to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I saw a good movie. I can't even remember the name of it. Big Country or something with Willem Dafoe and Matt Dillon and stuff. It was pretty good, actually. It's on Amazon.
Oh, I have to check that one out.
So it's like a police story kind of thing in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Pretty cool. In a few minutes, we're going to have a call-in guest. We're going to talk about interesting things. So... you know, like how to find people and or influence people, attract people, things like that. You know,
yeah.
I think we could all use a little help in that area.
I think so. And he has FBI tactics, which is so cool.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's a genius book, actually, because, you know, they know things about people that I wish we all knew.
Yeah.
Like how to profile. Like on a first date, I'd love to profile someone and be like, oh, no, your eyebrows are too high. That means you're sneaky. You know?
I guess, yeah.
That just alerts you to even more red flags. Like, sign me up. Can't wait.
Yeah, I wonder if people's facial features have something to do with their personality, you know?
I'm sure that it has to do with whatever is going on in their brain.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trained to hide our emotions the way that, like, FBI agents are when they're interrogating.
Right.
So I'm sure just, like, extra blinking of your eyes means you're hiding something.
Yeah. I know, and I wear my heart on my sleeve, you know?
Me too.
It's like, it's hard to not be honest, you know? And you just... Yeah, you just let it out, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll lie and smile. Like, I just can't. I don't know. Like, throwing my best friend a surprise party was probably the hardest thing in the world. I had to test myself, really, in every area of, like, lying and scheming and manipulation. To get her where I needed her to be at all times throughout the day was very difficult.
Yeah. But it was for a good cause.
Exactly, so which I had to keep telling myself. You're only lying for a good cause.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Don't we all, you know?
Yeah.
We always lie because we want to not hurt the other person.
Right.
But
well, some people lie to hurt people.
That's true.
I don't understand those people at all.
Yeah.
But if I could detect them earlier on, that would be great.
Yeah. You could just move on.
Yeah.
I'm sure after dating for a while, though, you pick up on those things, right?
Oh, yeah. And I have just zero patience at this point for anything.
Yeah, huh?
Like, if you text me something that doesn't sit well with me, I'm like, oh, gotta go.
That's funny.
Yeah. No tolerance.
Well, isn't that one of your resolutions, to focus less on yourself or something?
More on myself.
More on yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was less on yourself.
No, definitely more. I would think that everybody should be their priority.
Didn't you say you were like selfish or something at
no.
some point? No.
No.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, I don't know where that came to be.
I don't know either.
Okay, well, I must have heard you wrong. So focus more on yourself. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put myself first.
Yeah, it's important. So you didn't used to do that?
No, and not in relationships, and also not with my time. Like, if somebody asked me to do something, I would usually be like, okay. And then I would stretch myself too thin and not find enough time for myself and find myself with all of these obligations I didn't want to go to or do.
Right.
And most of the time when people ask you to do things, they don't even care if you say yes or no. It doesn't, like, register with them. Like, oh, this person is here to help. Or, like, they don't value it as much as you think they will. So why say yes?
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Like, they don't value your time, so I'm going to value it.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, what else did I want to bring? I wanted to bring up something, and I totally forgot now. I need to learn how to make notes and stuff. You know?
I will teach you the ways of my Capricorn.
Yeah,
behavior.
There you go. You see the you probably have like apps for list making and stuff, right?
I use the Notes app in my phone, and I have a notepad next to the bed.
Uh-huh.
I have one in my purse, just in case I have to write like a hard note down.
Right.
Yeah, I track everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I also have this nifty book that I'm really excited about. It's you write down one line a day every day for the next 5 years. So you can track like your life and where it was at every day.
Yeah, like your thoughts and where you were.
Exactly. So like, be it a thought, like a location or a lesson I learned that day or whatever it was, like a holiday. I write down something every day. And for the next 5 years, I'm going to, like, go back and I can refer to, like, every year, that day, each year, and see what I, like, what was going on.
Yeah,
so
that's
cool.
True. I know. I actually like these ideas, you know. I wrote a journal for a while when I was, like, 20, 21 years old, 19, 20. And I still have it. And it's cool to read it, you know, where your mind was at that time. And I'm thinking, people should do this all the time.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm doing it is because I want to, if I forget something or, like, you know, clearly our minds go, I don't want to forget important things that one day I can teach my kids or be like, this is who I was.
Right.
You know, or these are the things I was doing. Like, you should do these things or have fun.
And they say writing things down make you sort of, like, committed to them and, you know, it's easier to deal with when it's written down.
Right.
And that's what I need to do. I think those to-do lists, actually, it keeps it in front of you all the time. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't write it down, I put it in the back of my mind all the time.
I'm a huge proponent of organization and writing things down.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks.
At least you're, you figured that part out.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
Well, I think I have it to a fault. Like, I really enjoy checklists so much that, like, I'll write down things I've already done just to check it off.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, because then you're inspired to, like, you know you've accomplished things. So it's like, well, if I've already done those things, I can keep doing things.
Right. Yeah. I just have a hard time doing things I don't like to do.
Right. You know, well,
so
don't
I
we
just
all?
Just put those things off. I guess we all do.
You got to get them out of the way, though, first. That's right. The thing, is don't procrastinate on the things you dislike, because then you will continue disliking them.
Right. Exactly. And it's like weight on your shoulders,
right.
You know?
My mom taught me this at a young age. So when I was little, you know, you went to school from, like, what, 7 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like some odd hour of the day that you're in school as a child. So when I would get home at 3, I had the rest of the day to do whatever I wanted, whether it was like activities or see friends or watch countless hours of TV or go on AOL because it was new. Uh-huh. And so my mom always said, get home, do your homework right away, get it out of the way, and you can do whatever you want the rest of the night.
Right.
So I would do it right away.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and then it was done, and then I could waste all the rest of the day on whatever I wanted.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to look at it that way.
Yeah, it was
just
a good
get
lesson.
It out of the way, man, because it has to be done. Those things don't go away.
Right, they don't.
Yeah.
They just get pushed back, and then you still have to do it, and why rush to do something or do it poorly just because it's like the 11th hour?
Yeah, I know. That's what I do, man. I got to stop that. I put it off to the last minute.
Well, maybe with me here, I'll rub off on you in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will rub off on me. I need to read more. Definitely reading more.
Yeah. Good. Well, you've already committed to that, so that's a good idea.
And when I commit, I commit.
You commit?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool. Let's see. Where's our guest? He's not calling in, man. Well, maybe in a few minutes, because I think he's got, like, interviews back-to-back for 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, he's a busy guy. His book sounds very interesting. It's going to be on my list of books to read.
Yeah, I know. The book is called The Like Switch.
I'm going to add it to my Amazon cart right now so I don't forget. See, that's what I do. It's like,
well, they're supposed to send it to us. I would give you the copy.
Oh, well, then in that
maybe
case.
Maybe it'll still arrive. Yeah, so wait a few days.
Okay.
they always send me the books from this PR, and for some reason I haven't received it yet, so maybe it's just delayed in the mail or something. But yeah, we can read it.
Perfect.
Yeah. See, that's the benefit of being on radio. You get free books.
Love that.
Yeah. We actually, you know, I mean, we got some services too, thanks to guests that were here, like spa and...
What?
Yeah.
Where was I for those?
Yeah, where were you? Well, we'll invite some spa people then.
Okay, great.
When they come around, and maybe we'll get some treatment. Yeah, I went for this like laser anti-wrinkle thing.
Oh my God, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, and it seemed to work, but I thought maybe I'm just imagining. I don't know, because she first did only half of the face.
Oh.
You know, so you can compare one side to the other.
Fascinating. And did you see anything?
It seemed to me like I did. But those things, you got to keep going back.
Right.
You know, and I didn't. I just went once. So I don't think it helped or anything. But maybe there's something to it. I mean, look, they sell like machines that are really expensive.
Yeah.
People pay a lot of money for this. And maybe it works, you know.
Well, I had my microdermabrasion peel last week. And that thing definitely worked. Because an entire skin layer came off. Day by day, I was peeling off my poor skin on my face.
Wow.
And I looked like an alien. But now I think my skin is radiant and looks however many years younger.
Okay, well, we accept that, you know.
You always
seem radiant to me.
I
wouldn't notice that you had a layer of skin that you didn't want.
Well.
You know. But, yeah. What do I
know?
Hopefully
I'm aging in reverse.
Yeah.
I would like to look young forever. It's like the fountain of youth.
I know. My late uncle used to say that life goes in the wrong direction. We should be born old and then grow young because... By the time, you know, normally by the time we learn everything about life, we're too old to enjoy it.
That's true.
And if we were like, imagine if you could know what you know now when you're like 18, 19.
That'd be so great.
Yeah. Or what I know at my age at 18, 19.
Yeah.
You know, it would be amazing, you know. I mean, you'd accomplish a lot in your life, but life goes the other way, so.
Yeah.
You know, so at least we end up with wisdom as we grow older.
That's true. Maybe there's an alternate universe somewhere where that happens.
Yeah, huh?
Where we go next. And it's like, now you live in reverse. Enjoy.
Yeah. Live in reverse. I know. Well, you know, like I said, you know, in the aging process, we do go back
right.
to being babies again.
Well,
you
my
lose your teeth, you lose your hair.
Exactly.
You know,
it's just a weird process altogether. But hey, it is what it is. I had a psychic, you know, obviously I refer to my psychic regularly, that said I'm like Benjamin Button and I am going in reverse.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know very how that's going to transpire, considering I'm not old, so I don't know where it's going to go, but we'll see.
Yeah. Obviously, it's bullshit, so.
I think they just meant that I was getting young. I was going to get younger in heart. Like,
right.
And I am, I feel like I'm getting more playful.
Oh, wow.
Like, I find cool. myself just, like, running around. I'm like, what yeah. am I doing?
Not as serious anymore?
No.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
But you know when you're young, you take yourself so seriously because you think you're so old. Like, I remember being, like, 17, and I was like, I am so old.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an adult. I've got this, you know, on lock.
Right.
I figured out the world. No, I didn't. I mean, I was getting there, but.
It's a dangerous age where you think you know everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know nothing.
Nothing.
Right. And I think 18 is such an arbitrary age, you know? I don't think 18-year-olds are much more mature than 17-year-olds.
Well, no, of course not.
Yeah. I know there has to be a cutoff, but still.
Right. It's more like legality being 18.
Yeah.
Now you're an adult.
Right.
Because we had to decide one day
you
were an adult.
Yeah.
But when you're Jewish, you're an adult at 13. I still don't understand that concept because you're definitely not an adult. They're like telling kids the wrong things.
Right.
I think you can't tell a kid you're an adult because then they really think they are.
Right.
And then they're like, I have all this jurisdiction over my life. I know all these things. You can't tell me no because I am an adult because you told me I was an adult.
Yeah.
What?
That's
no.
true.
No, you're not. You can't drive. You can't drink. You can't make decisions
you're
for yourself.
A little kid.
I still pay for you. You're not an adult. Calm down. Let's change it. Let's relabel yeah. these humans.
You're only adult in order to do all the mitzvahs and stuff. You know,
right.
All the commands and stuff, you know, that you have to keep kosher and all
right.
these things.
I think maybe back in the day, like in like ancient times, they were an adult because their right. lifespan was so much shorter.
Right.
And you were able to like, I don't procreate or something. Like you started having kids at what, or getting married to people at 14. So yeah. like, sure, you were an adult at 13. Great. Now, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, you're not.
It doesn't happen that
you're
way.
You're a baby.
Yeah.
Right.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, even at 18, 19, you know, I mean, they just come out of high school. They're still like young.
Yeah.
You know, they think young.
Right.
But, you know.
I think we should change some of these labels.
Yeah. Then you go into your 20s and everything changes, but some people still don't mature.
Right.
You know.
It's all very
eventually everybody does, I guess, you know, just at different rates.
Do they?
Just like babies, they grow at different rates.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. I don't know. Well, you're right. I mean, some people probably never reach nirvana or something. You know?
No, I just feel like, you know, as a kid, you think your parents are like these all-knowing people that have got it figured out because they're called parents.
Right.
But really, if you dwindle it down, because now I know friends that are parents, and I'm like, you were allowed to have a child and bring, you're responsible for another life? What? Who allowed that? But at the same time, we're basically kids that have more responsibilities and can afford things. Mm. That's like the adult process. I feel yeah. like you're starting to figure things out, but you just now have money to do them, and, you know, I don't know, you have bills. Like, that's about it.
Yeah.
What makes you more, you know, what makes you an adult?
Yeah. I think being able to be independent and support yourself.
Yeah.
That would be one thing.
But it also doesn't mean you're mature in any way. It just means you right. can support yourself. Or well, that you've yeah. got life figured out.
Right. Well, that's mature, isn't it? If you figure life out.
I think so. But that doesn't mean every adult is mature.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that I agree with.
They're just older, still doing probably some of the same things they were doing when they were younger, but they can afford a car.
Right. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I wonder how some people manage to figure out how to make a lot of money. And many people don't, you know.
No.
And it's just, I think it's in your destiny, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody's come here to make a lot of money.
Right. And some people don't have the drive or don't know how or they're afraid.
Right.
Fear of failing can you know, inhibit people from even starting.
Right. Yeah, but it's also, I mean, you have to have a special relationship with money, you know. It's like you have to understand how not to spend everything that you make.
Yeah.
Some people make really good money, but they don't have anything left because they spend everything.
Right.
So you need to plan that. And I'm sure you, with your list and everything.
Oh, yeah. Every dollar is accounted for.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I have a document that lists out every single bill I have every month, what I make, what is left over from the previous month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I guess.
Well, at least you know where your life is and where you're going. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal.
And I know my limitations for what I can do with my money and what I can't. Like, I'm not going to blow all my money. There's no chance of that happening. I don't live life like that.
Yeah.
I would like to be able to eat tomorrow.
Yeah. You got to think of the future. People don't think about that.
Right. And I like to prevent worrying.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's not like sexy to save money and stuff. You know, it's more cool to spend it. But yeah, eventually you get to an age where you need a nest egg. You need something to to help you pay your bills because you can't work anymore.
Right.
You know.
I think saving money's cool.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to live and save money, that's really cool.
And investing too. You know? I mean, my parents bought this like condo. Condo in Israel. It's just like a cheap apartment, but it's like in central Tel Aviv, right in the heart where everybody wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they made so much profit on that house because it's from like 30 years ago, you know. So you got to buy something and forget about it,
right?
You know, like real estate, and then it just increases so much.
So do they rent it out?
Yeah, they have for a while, and now they just sold it. You know?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So they made a killing on that.
That's great.
And that will help them with the retirement and everything.
Yeah.
So it's important to do that. You know, you don't want to be like a dead weight on your family and stuff.
No. I mean, I don't remember if I've told you on this radio show, but my plan is to pool together money with all my cousins, buy a house, like a 5-bedroom house, put all of our parents in it, hire a chef, a therapist, like some kind of like physical therapist, a chef, a therapist, what else was it? A housekeeper. And they just all live there together.
Mm.
Because they shouldn't go to an old age home.
Right.
And if they live at home and they have like, you know, their own medical help, then they're going to be basically alone in that house.
Right.
So why not put them all together? They can hang out. They should like pool resources. They could eat together, hang out. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So that's where
they're
all going.
They know each other and everything.
Right, their family.
Yeah.
They can have pets.
Our family love each other, but
ours does. I mean, we all get under each other's skin a little bit, but like that's normal. But we genuinely like hanging out. So put them all together. Enjoy.
Yeah.
You can have group pets. You can have movie nights. And that's what they'll do for the rest of their lives once they're old.
Yeah. Do you think they'll want that?
I don't care.
You're going to put them there anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't care.
At some point, I'm your legal guardian. Goodbye.
I know. It's difficult, man. It's difficult to have to help your parents out of the car and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'd rather them actually get to hang out with each other and like... They could share staff. Why should every family spend a killing on, like, spend so much money on, they need all that help. So, like, the nurse's aide, for instance, or somebody to food shop for them, or a housekeeper. Just live together.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
We'll all come see you. We all hang out anyway.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to fly you all these places, and we have to go see you down wherever you live and deal with your house.
Yeah.
No.
Well, your mom is, my mom is still in denial. So, you know, every time we try to bring her someone, she doesn't want them. You know, she can't do this. She's not doing this right. She's not doing that right. I don't want anybody in my house.
Well, my mom works in that business.
Yeah.
So she is the person that markets the companies that sends the nurse's aides to people that need them.
Oh, okay.
So she, A, really is big on customer service and will tell you how to do it left and right and upside down. And like... She'll school you. And then she believes in that concept of having a nurse's aide because why should you go to a nurse's a home? She doesn't want to go to a home. And she will tell me. She's been like coaching me since I was little. She's like, you're not going to put me in one of those homes. Who's going to take care of me when I'm old? She'll ask everybody in the family, are you going to take care of me when I'm old? I'm like, I'm going to, but you're going to go where I put you. In a house with your family members. That's where you go. Down the street.
Yeah.
I'm not flying to Florida to see you. No, you're going to be here.
Yeah.
She wants to move here anyway, so it's only a matter of time.
Really? Okay, oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks when parents are far from you, you know, and I figure, you know, I see a lot of parents moving wherever their kids are, that's where they move to, regardless right. whether they like it or not.
Well, here's the thing. They picked where I lived from 0 to 18.
Right.
Now it's my turn.
Yeah.
They can live where they want now, and then from the last 18 years of their life, I'm in charge.
Right.
That's how this works. Remember, we talked about, you know.
But you don't know when the last 18
You're
years
right.
of their lives are.
So it's going to be whenever, like, they start needing more help. That's when they get put where they get put.
Right. No, I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with my parents because, like I said, my mom, it's not because they necessarily don't know how to do things. She just doesn't want people there. She likes her privacy and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, there are two people and they need assistance. So they would need someone to live there. And God forbid my mom won't allow that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, parents are funny as they get older. The things that they say, you know.
I mean, who knows what I would even want when I'm older. I'd probably want, like, a family house.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah. No, a family house would be cool.
Yeah, have, like, a masseuse come by once a week, a person to do your nails once a week, like... Pool your resources. You're all on what, Medicare, or what do you get? Social Security at that point?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah, which is hardly any money at all.
Right.
Our guest is not calling. You know, let me just restart this system here for a moment and see. Maybe that's maybe something's wrong with our program here. But that's weird. Yeah. I mean, it was confirmed and everything. So that's highly unusual. But. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah. And so he's probably stuck in some other interviews. We'll just reschedule this one.
Yeah, we definitely should because I'm really interested in it.
Yeah. I know.
Hopefully that book's still on the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Okay. So, okay, well, let's get to what's going on. I guess the nominations for the Academy Awards were announced. I'm sure you like that.
Of course.
Do you want to update us on some of the things that are happening there?
Yeah, let me pull them all up. There's, I mean, so many.
It's all the movies we talked about already, right?
And, I mean, the thing I don't love about the Academy Awards is that they group things, whereas, like, the Golden Globes don't, where they put, like, comedy in one, drama in another. In this, they put Best Movie of the Year, and it's like everything.
Right.
I don't know how... I can't judge apples to oranges, because I'll always pick a comedy over a drama. Because I genuinely like watching that more.
Right. Because
it makes me feel better about life.
Right, yeah. But that's not what the Oscars are about.
No.
They're into dramas and things like that.
Right.
So that's what they get. So we get like Birdman and...
Right.
And the Grand Budapest Hotel, which you said was kind of weird, right?
No, weird but great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they were nominated. And also Birdman's really weird.
Really?
Yeah, there's like mixed reviews when I ask my friends. Like some people think it's the best movie they've ever seen. And then others are like, it was really weird and uncomfortable to watch.
Wow.
I have a friend that was like, I need this 2 hours of my life way more than I need this movie. So I'm going to turn it off and move on to something else. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, everybody's got their own opinions and what draws them into a movie. So I still want to see it. I haven't seen it yet because it's sort of been like that touch and go one.
Mm-hmm.
But I really loved Whiplash.
Yeah.
And that's nominated for Best Picture. I haven't seen The Theory of Everything. Heard mixed reviews on that. Heard the acting was amazing,
mixed.
But that the movie wasn't good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I loved Selma as much as you can love a movie about people, you know, taking away other people's rights.
Right.
American Sniper. Glad that it got, you know, an Oscar nomination as Best Picture because it was not nominated for a Golden Globe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it is pretty good, right?
Really, really good.
Really?
I just thought it was so good. Also, Imitation Game, so good.
Yeah. What's this noise? Are you hearing it?
Yeah.
Do you have something playing?
No.
I don't know what it is.
Weird.
Sounded like some noise, huh?
Yeah.
It still sounds like there's some noise. Like water being...
Like cleaning somewhere. Or sweeping. Something's happening outside, I think.
You think it's outside?
I think
okay.
so.
All right. What about...
Foxcatcher was another weird one.
Yeah, with Steve Carell, right?
Yeah, and I got to say the cast was amazing because it's Mark Ruffalo, Channing Tatum, Steve Carell, but I couldn't finish it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I watched it with my friends, and it was like an hour in, and it was getting late at night, and we're like, God, you know, I could just look up the story of this guy because it's, you know, it's a true story. Right. I'd rather just read what happened and not finish this really long, slow movie that is so creepy because, you know, there's something impending that you know is going to happen. Mm. The whole start of the movie is like, Steve Carell, you know, gets in touch with these wrestler guys and forms a relationship with them and starts to build a team for the Olympics. And it's like just a really slow, eerie process that you know, even if you don't know the true story of what happened, you're like, something is not right here. And you sort of see Steve Carell's character unfold and get a little more manic.
Uh-huh.
And you see him start to use drugs and you're like, wait, what's going on here? He shouldn't be allowing Olympic athletes to be doing cocaine.
Right.
That's like anti, you know, it's counterproductive.
Right.
So I don't know if they did blood testing then or like drug testing back then. It was like the 80s. So just unravels. Then somebody dies. It's a whole thing. But yeah. Google it.
Yeah, save yourself. I will.
Unless you're really into those kinds of movies. I don't know. It was really slow for me and I can usually put in the time. This time I couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Birdman and the Grand Budapest Hotel got 9 nominations and then 8 The Imitation Game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is sort of surprising. It didn't get much in the Golden Globe, right?
No.
As far as awards.
No, and it should because Benedict Cumberbatch was amazing. Again, Eddie Redmayne won for Best Actor, but I think, or Best what, Supporting Actor? No, it was Best Actor in a Drama. Mm. And Michael Keaton won Best Actor in Comedy or Musical. That's what it was. Mm. So Eddie Redmayne won for Best Actor in a Drama, whereas Benedict Cumberbatch could have also won.
Right.
I think they both played realistic characters based on true stories and could have gone either way. The acting was phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably going to catch it this weekend. I was going to go see it last weekend, but I didn't get a chance.
You gotta
to
see.
God. Yeah.
You would like it because you like suspense and like all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, I do. I love this stuff. I mean, I read novels about this stuff.
You know, so. I mean, okay, so I watched Fury the other night too. And Fury to me was just another war movie. It was just about a tank. You know, one tank out of all the tanks.
Right.
In
And they focus on that tank the whole movie,
yes.
right?
And I'm sorry, Brad Pitt. I love you. I mean it. But I can't watch you in movies like this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because and it's Brad Pitt. You can't assume he's going to... You don't see him as a realistic general of like an army. I just don't. I see him as Brad Pitt playing a general of an army, not that guy.
Yeah.
Like, whereas other actors, because they're not as famous or because they play more character actors, you believe them.
So he plays a general?
I forget what his...
Or just like the head of the tank. Like
he's the head of the tank, but he's high ranking.
Okay.
So I don't remember. Like he's head of all of the tanks that...
Oh, okay.
You know, it finally gets interesting in the last like 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just shooting at people.
Yeah, and I heard it's pretty gruesome.
Oh,
graphic,
my God.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Why would you want to see that?
I don't know. We sort of had it on in the background of doing other things, like playing on our phones and stuff. But I thought The Imitation Game was more interesting to see the British involvement and the more like, you know, like the intelligence part of winning a war.
Right.
Versus the gruesome part of seeing like faces blown off. And you actually see the face blown off.
Really?
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I know. They try to make it seem so real, but sometimes you just don't want to see that. I mean, that's one of the reasons I didn't go to see the movie because I heard it's pretty gruesome. And I thought, you know, I mean, why would I want to see that?
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, these images stay in your mind forever.
Right. I mean, we watched it because we have a stack of screeners that we need to get through and give them back to whomever we like have some from. And we have our own set, but these were borrowed like that in Big Hero 6. Right. But imagine we watched Big Hero 6 first and then Fear. It's like the two opposite films. Totally. One was like kind of feel good and like a lesson's being learned and like cute, and Big Hero 6 is taking place in San Fran, Tokyo. They mixed San Francisco and Tokyo, and it was such a cool movie and such a warm, heartfelt, like, family, like, cool technology movie. It's really cool. And then we watched Fury, and we're like, ugh, why did we just do that? But Big Hero 6 is nominated for an Oscar as animated, so.
Cool.
Pretty excited about that.
Hopefully. Yeah. So let's see, what other ones do we have? So we've talked about all of them, Whiplash and
Boyhood.
Selma and Boyhood, and yeah.
I know Wild was nominated. I liked Wild a lot. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have gone into like some of the other facets. It's about the character's journey and like kind of why she goes on this journey. But I'd like to know more about, you know, what happens after. They do a little, like, brief thing at the end. Like, she goes on to do the following, you know. But I don't know. I think there's more that I would have wanted to see from it.
Yeah. Is that the one with Reese Witherspoon?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. It was good, though. It was good.
Mm. Okay. Let's see. Now, I see that Keira Knightley got a nomination for Supporting Actress.
She was good. I mean, she kind of plays the same character, I feel, in every movie. She's always, you know, this British character that's a little distraught.
Yeah. But I don't know. But she's played in a wide range of roles. You know, I mean, she's done the Victorian period pieces. And she's done Love Actually. And she's done, you know, I mean, those are different kinds of movies.
I guess. You know what? I feel like the movies are all different, but she's the same.
Yeah.
In every movie.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. She's great at what she plays.
Right.
She's always a British woman. It's a little distressed. Has some love interest. She's very proper. She's never slutty. You know, she's never like the whore of the movie.
Right. Yeah. Because she doesn't have that appearance.
Right. Yeah. She's never ugly. Like, if she were to play an ugly role, I would be like, okay, that's a stretch.
Right.
Because she's just so beautiful.
That's true. But then again, most actors are not ugly. So you always have to put some makeup on them.
Charlize Theron played Monster.
Right.
You know.
And they put makeup on her.
To make her ugly. And fine, I believe that. And then, like, then Jennifer Aniston plays a role in Cake where it's a very dark character. And she's, like, not wearing makeup. And she's, like, I think she's either suicidal or she is somebody that was suicidal and died. And she's in, like, a self-help group or something. But, you know, I'm more impressed when they go out of their element than they play something that they are already, which is why I'm a host, because I cannot go into those deep, dark parts of me. I don't really have them, I don't think. But they're somewhere, maybe.
So you focus on other people's.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd rather talk about you and your issues than, you know, what else. I'm not going to try and, like, be this thing. So Interstellar got nominated for visual effects, which it should.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
I didn't either.
I didn't see
Not into those kind of movies.
I know, neither am I. Gone Girl got did earn a Best Actress nomination for Rosamund Pike.
She should. She's great. Yeah. I don't think she's going to win. But.
Probably not, yeah, because it's not the kind of film that they reward.
It's not an artistic film. It's clever, and right. I mean, I think that it's just different than other stories because of how it unfolds, but it's not artistic.
Right.
So when it's up against the others.
Yeah, they look for artistic and stuff, you know. And the thing is that to me, movies are first and foremost entertainment. I don't want to go there and start analyzing things. I just want to be entertained by a good story. But like you said, you know, they like the dramas. They like the, you know, all these like heavy movies. And the good acting and stuff. And that's what they look for.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and I also think you can't beat a Brit. You can't.
Yeah.
If a British person is playing a role that is so dramatic and heartfelt and they move you in some way, they're going to win over the American.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Has it happened?
I think that's that? Just a general consensus. Also, Julianne Moore always wins.
That's true. She does.
If she's nominated or if Meryl Streep is nominated, they always win.
They always win, yeah.
I don't care who they're against. They're going to win.
Yeah, but when they were against each other, they didn't. I mean,
well,
Meryl Streep
did, right?
Didn't get it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's because she always wins. She, though, plays these roles that are like, you know, damaged in some way, but still likable and always has like some revelation at the end. Mm. And I mean, she's in a movie, Still Alice, and it's not like a popular movie, but her right. performance is what is so important.
Yeah.
So maybe nobody sees the movie, but Julianne's in it. She's going to win.
Whoa. Who is she against? I mean, do we know?
Everybody.
Yeah, huh?
All of the top actresses.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably Amy Adams, you know, Meryl Streep, whoever else.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, there's the Jennifer Aniston thing that got a nomination for the Golden Globe for Cake.
Yeah.
I never even heard of it. I don't know.
I have it. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
I need to check out more movies. It's just that, you know, I look for, like I said again, I look for entertainment. I see all these, like, dramas, and I'm like, nah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you're in the mood for movies like that, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't see Nightcrawler, did you?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good, yeah. That was entertaining, you know. I mean, it didn't require a lot. He played, you see, that's why he's getting a nomination and not the movie, right? The movie's not getting anywhere close yeah. to a nomination. But he is, because he played this crazy character, you know, this like really weird guy. And Hollywood rewards that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I do need to see some of the documentaries, because I haven't seen any of those. Mm. Last Days in Vietnam, Virunga. It's about guerrilla protection in Africa. Interesting.
Mm.
I need to see Life Itself also.
Life Itself. Okay. So see all those and bring us back the reviews.
I will. Happy to.
Yeah. Did you hear about this man that found himself alone on a Delta flight? He was the only passenger.
No.
Now,
that's
how
so
does
weird.
This happen?
I don't know.
They're saying that the plane was seriously delayed, so they rebooked everybody except him. He wasn't rebooked, so he went on the plane. He realized he's all there. Now, you have to ask, okay, so why is the airplane actually flying if there's no people?
Right.
Well, the thing is, they needed to get the plane to the other airport.
Okay.
As scheduled, you know, because it needed to be there for later flights.
Right.
So this guy, like, gets to travel, so he takes selfies and tweets and stuff on
That's
the plane.
That's so cool. I mean, who doesn't want to go on a plane alone?
Yeah.
A, you get to sleep because you have all the seats to yourself.
Right. And how do you pick a seat, though? You know, that's right. the funniest thing.
Oh, my God, I would run around.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would. I would eat all the chips and, too like, much, snacks.
Yeah. Too much choice, you know?
I'd watch all the movies. Seats. That's yeah. fun.
I never watch movies on airplanes.
I do.
I used to read a lot. Now I get tired, so I sleep mostly.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah, that's the best way to pass the flight.
I sleep or I watch movies. I think I'm going to start reading when I fly now.
Yeah, it'll make you tired. Yeah, it'll make you tired, and then you can sleep better.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been lately a great sleeper. Something has happened where I'm like, I sleep like a dead person.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. See, I like films on, like, big screens, at least on a big TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so watching it on a small screen doesn't move me that much.
But it's maybe so close to your face.
I know. That's wrong. What's wrong with it?
Yeah. I guess I feel that way, too. I have a hard time watching TV or movies on my iPad.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm so glad I have Apple TV, that I can AirPlay it to the TV or watch it from there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a small screen doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah. I know. And usually they have movies you've already seen on the plane.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. There are some that sneak by me, though, like the ones that I won't pay to see.
Yeah.
Then I'll watch them on the plane.
Wow. This Indianapolis Colts linebacker charged with felony rape.
Yeah.
And he's denying this. Apparently what happened is this woman met him at a bar. And they went to a few bars. By the time they got to his house, he was pretty drunk. And they started, you know, messing around and stuff. And then she told him, she says, you know, I'm too tired, I'm too drunk, I don't want to do this. And he kept going. And, you know, she says he was not a problem. He wasn't aggressive in the beginning. And then she found herself naked. And, yeah, and he kept going. So, you know, but then again, you know, it's her word against his. I don't know what's going on there. But all I can tell you is it's very scary when someone can just make a claim, an allegation, and you can get arrested for that. I mean, he was arrested and released on bail.
Mm-hmm.
And with an ankle bracelet.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, women have this power that, you know, can be abused. And You know, I mean, I don't know what happened there, but all I'm saying is I think it's very scary. Everybody's vulnerable to this kind of stuff because all a woman has to do is say, hey, you raped me. And
but don't they have to do a test like to show that there was some kind of force or that there was like, you know.
They could. But even before they do the test, they first arrest the guy.
Yeah.
Then they ask questions, you know, and that's the problem, I think.
Well, that's a weird way to do things, too, especially if you're innocent until proven guilty. But I guess they immediately go to try and prove you guilty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for today. Too bad the guest didn't call in.
Too bad.
Yeah. We'll reschedule that because he seemed like a good guest.
Yeah.
And I'm sure something happened. I learned not to badmouth guests because you never know what happens. You
of
know?
Course. Absolutely. Something,
things happen. People don't do it because they just forget.
No. And, you know, there's always technical difficulties sometimes. And you're not where you plan to be. So you can't make a phone call or.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.